Welcome to Our House with one of Australia's leading auctioneers, Rod Amos, and buyer's agent, Matt Sharp. And now for your dose of information and observation about real estate across the nation. Let's go live to your host, the voice of the National Rugby League, Steve Allen.
Yeah, welcome to episode 4 of Our House. Great to have you listening and hope you're well. This episode, we'll take a look at some record-breaking sales, including Point Piper in Sydney, a home that sold for almost $100 million. There's also a home on the Gold Coast that's previously been listed at $45 million. It's about to go to auction. We'll tell you about this unbelievable home on 4 blocks of waterfront land. And with our suburb spotlight this week, we head back to Queensland. Thornlands in Brisbane, Alexandra Headland on the Sunshine Coast, and we'll go a little further north to beautiful Noosa and see how those suburbs are travelling in 2020. By the way, thanks for your support so far, and if you love the show, make sure you check us out on Facebook and give us a like and subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Right now, let's welcome the team. Firstly, Rod Amos, agent and famous auctioneer with Ray White-Terrigal.
Good afternoon, Steve. Good afternoon, Matthew Sharp.
How's it going, boys? Back for another week.
Hey, mate, happy birthday for last week, too. How old?
Thank you, 33. First one as a dad, so very exciting.
And I know you don't want to have a crack at your beautiful wife, Jackie, but last year you were in the Big Apple. What did you get for your birthday this year?
Oh, mate, you know, it was a big fall from grace now being a dad. And let me just give you guys and the listeners some context. My wife gives some of the best birthday presents ever, right? People come to her for ideas for friends and family and whatever, and you know, previously she's actually bought me tickets to New York for a birthday and even organized for us to go and watch Jerry Seinfeld in the Beacon Theater in New York. And this year, first one as a dad, I've been looking forward to it. And
let me have a guess, Matt, would it be half a signed snap Kelly Slater surfboard from Avalon, the big swell, or not?
That's what I was expecting, but mate, socks and undies.
Welcome to the man club. You are now a real acknowledged parent.
Oh, I know. It's a big fall from grace.
All right, let's get cracking. Firstly, as a spokesperson for this podcast, thanks to everyone who's liked our Facebook page, and we want to see as many questions as possible. And Matt, some have come through this week. Firstly, Mark in Cronulla says, "Hey boys, loving the show so far. I'm looking at selling my home in Cronulla, wondering if I should ask my sales agent to sell my home at auction or not. And what are the key indicators to say that selling at auction is a good idea?" Rod?
Look, you've really got to look at the demographics. And as we were saying, I think one of the early podcasts, it's not so much the property, it's a kind of buyer they're expecting to be dealing with there. Cronulla, by auction day, 2/3 chance of being able to shake hands with a new owner. I'd be thinking in the current market, very strong result likely from auction just about anywhere in New South Wales. I don't know about interstate, but it is more so whether it's a type of buyer that is going to be able to engage with the auction process.
And who is that buyer? Like you mentioned the demographic, who is it? Is it a first home buyer? Is it someone really experienced? Is it a nesters? Who is that?
That is a difficult thing. Mark from Cronulla didn't tell us what kind of property is, but if it's an entry level apartment, I'd imagine that's going to be $800,000, $900,000 around Cronulla. Could be borderline first home buyer. The one difficulty you're going to have with that entry level property is getting the finance organised for them. If it is a buyer, that it's an aspirational buyer, I think go to auction, because the finance is pretty much taken care of. So I suppose I'm across the second point now. It's not just a demographic, but what kind of financial circumstances are we expecting the buyer in, and what difficulties might they face getting finance approved by auction day?
Maddie, Cheryl from Port Macquarie. Boys, thanks for covering my beautiful hometown in your last episode. It was really cool to hear some insights on Port Macquarie and that everyone else around the country loves my hometown. My question is, when's the right time to buy an investment property? Is now the right time? I've heard the market's going to drop. Should I buy now or wait a little longer? Your thoughts?
This is a question I get all too often. Look, I believe if you have surplus cash left over at the end of each month, after all expenses and stuff are paid, if you have good money habits in place, if you have a cash buffer in place for emergencies, I think it is a good time to purchase property. Now, it's very important that you don't speculate and try and time the market, because if you do that, more often than not, you're going to get it wrong. As the old saying goes, time in the market is more important than timing the market.
Agreed. So longer, medium to longer term plan, but at the same time, with interest rates the way they are, stock market may be a little bit dippy. What else are you going to do with your money anyhow? It's still, to me, it's bricks and mortar. If you're in New South Wales, and it looks like Cheryl in Port Macquarie is, we still got strong demand anywhere in New South Wales for rentals. I'd be thinking it's probably a good thing too, Matt.
And third question from Emily in Melbourne. And thanks to everyone for their questions. My boyfriend and I are looking to start saving for our first home. Any tips to help us? And speaking of first homes and new homes, this info courtesy of Channel 10's finance report last week, 3.6% up in August, new home sales, 19% of those are in Queensland, New South Wales 11.7% up, 11.4% up for new homes in WA. One of the major drops, of course, no surprise here, Victoria, down 14.4% in August for new homes.
Look, no surprise, but Victoria, expect that's going to rebound again in next year, hopefully. But man, first home buyers, obviously some really big incentives there too. I'm not the expert. I'm still working for a living at 60, remember?
Thanks for the question, Emily. Look, that's awesome that you guys have identified that you want to start to save for your first property. A couple of things that I'll say from the top, real obvious one is spend less than you earn. I think that's quite obvious. So get rid of any spending habits each week or each month that you don't necessarily need right now. Set up a direct debit for your savings, preferably something that you don't see, so that you're not looking at it every week going, oh, I've got an extra $100 or an extra $1,000 or an extra $5,000. Make that account difficult for you to transfer money out of. If it has to be in someone else's name, like your parents, or in another bank account where you don't have the app, I definitely encourage that. Set some goals with your savings, whether it be $50 a week, $100 a week, $200 a week, and keep each other accountable. Speak to your boyfriend, speak to your partner and say, look, let's help each other through this, because let's face it, saving for a deposit takes some time and you really need to be patient, and it's no quick fix. So yeah, good luck with it and I hope they help.
Well, my daughter Talia, she's in the same boat, and I can tell you a lot of the younger demographic loves the barefoot investor, where you're trying to put away, is it maybe 40% of your income in total? Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Barefoot Investor, great book, really, really easy read, very educational. I think he mentions around 40% if you're still living at home. It's a really good yardstick. And he doesn't talk about budgets. He hates budgets. I also hate budgets. He talks about buckets. So talking about investments, go and spend the money on that book or listen to it on audiobook. I think it will be really, really helpful.
Okay, what caught your eye this week? Now, Rod, I've got the website up and running for this property in Point Piper, $95 million. Tell us more.
Well, let's just say the recession we're having, what recession? We have just eclipsed the highest record by just a few tens of million dollars. 92, a Wolseley Road at Point Piper has just been sold. Congratulations to Sotheby's Managing Director, Michael Pally, a very well-known, very high profile, but a real gentleman of real estate in the eastern suburbs, responsible for some of the biggest sales. And this has got to be the trophy for his wall, doesn't it, Matt? $95 million, double block, full tennis court. Funny thing is, it doesn't even have a full jetty out there, does it? It's got a little landing point there too. There's not the boat shed. There is actually two dwellings tiered over about five different levels there, but just extraordinary sale.
Absolutely incredible home. And yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be lucky enough to call something like that home, but who knows? We can all dream, right?
This is one that caught my eye, and it's a cattle property sale. The Daniels family from Cloncurry, they've paid $35 million for a 97,500-hectare property in Nardoo. Now, Rod, this was auctioned by Ray White Rural in Brisbane last Friday morning with 5,500 cattle. Rod, you may not know these guys personally, but Bruce Douglas and Bill Seney from Ray White Rural, the guys are legends in the business, aren't they?
Well, they've been doing it a while. I think, believe Ray White kicked off in Longreach going back in the late 1800s. So it's over, 140-odd years these guys have been practicing. And the thing is, with these kind of sales too, inevitably they're going to be in rooms. They do a lot in Sydney. And inevitably, you do not bring people to the site. You can imagine this one. It's going to be a Cessna and a landing on a dirt airstrip. So yeah, big event at the in-room auctions.
And 200 kilometres of fencing?
Poor mate. I would not want to be installing that fence. Post by post.
Yeah, just imagine if you've got electric fencing and there's got a break somewhere in it. You go out and find it for me, Matt. I'll see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Hey, we told you we'd mention how the other half live. What about this home on the Gold Coast? $45 million price tag. The home is on Sovereign Islands. What do you think about this? So it's actually being offered or listed in American dollars, US $30 million to attract international attention. Now, this is the other thing that really caught my eye about this property. So it's absolutely stunning. 26 Knightsbridge Parade East. It was sold in an unfinished state to its current owner for $5.3 million at a mortgagee auction just 7 years ago.
Now, Matt, you made one very good point about this as being marketed in American dollars. They are looking over $40 million. Fairly select group of buyers. And you questioned about the auction process. And I agreed with you on that, Matt. What were your thoughts from as a buyer's agent?
Very confusing, I guess, you know, with an auction campaign of a property of this caliber. And I'm obviously questioning it myself. I guess these guys know what they're doing. But one thing I know from some experience is that typically with people with this sort of money are very private people. They're not typically out and about waving their cash around. And I just can't picture these guys standing on the front yard of this place with the Rod Amos of Queensland, you know, trying to draw out an extra couple of mil for the sale.
It's certainly extraordinary. And one thing I will admit, I don't think I could afford the Neptune statue that comes with a home, let alone the waterfront property itself.
Well, what about, you'd have to, like, if you've got this in American dollars, obviously they're attracting international money. So what were they doing there? Is it online bidding? Like, what's the campaign?
We don't know exactly how the auction's being done. Maybe it's being done with a three-month marketing campaign that culminated in an auction. But just as a general overview, Matt, tender is probably going to be the way I would think. I don't use it. It's rarely it works effectively unless you have a property like this, totally unique and no comparisons.
It's four blocks of land. Rob mentioned about the Roman-inspired garden and the four-metre-high, 1,500-kilogram statue of Neptune from Florence. Alex Phyllis is marketing the property, which he says is in a league of its own with nothing like it in the Southern Hemisphere. So it's the size of a luxury boutique hotel. Absolutely incredible.
Nothing like it in the Southern Hemisphere. Yes, again, Matt, I question whether auction is the right way to go with this, but we'll stay tuned. We'll keep you updated as to what happens with this waterfront on the island.
Okay, let's bounce around the country now. Rod, what are you seeing with auction numbers?
Well, look, we're holding up particularly well in New South Wales, and as you expect in Victoria, Matt, something a little bit different down there. It's going to be a long-term recovery. The only thing that's really happening down there is regional satellite areas. The Central Coast last weekend was up towards the top of the pack. We averaged throughout Greater Sydney 75% selling a clearance. Central Coast was at 73.9%. That's enough for me to call it a draw on the average. But leading again was the Inner West, 81.2%. Now, Matt, we sit around the table here. We talk about the influx of people moving out of Sydney. If you're looking at 81% clearance rate in the Inner West, doesn't look like everybody wants to move to the Central Coast, does it?
No, it doesn't. Looking at these numbers, certainly not. I'm just looking at some other figures here as well. And I mean, it's no surprise to see Melbourne, unfortunately, falling off a cliff with you know, with their scheduled auctions for this weekend, sitting at only 47 scheduled for Saturday. Now, that would usually sit somewhere around the 1,000.
The one that is booming is Canberra, Steve. Remember back in the days of radio, Canberra was always hanging in there doing well. It was 84% clearance rate through the ACT last Saturday. Now, we know they don't have the COVID risk down. They've handled that well, but there's certainly something else continuing to happen in Canberra. And what that signifies is, auction clearance rates like that signify just incredible demand happening through it. Canberra's on fire, Adelaide's still doing well, and even Brisbane up close to 60%. The market up there is doing pretty well too with their little lockdown start.
Okay, so these are auction clearance rates. Just on Canberra, like, there's some sensational restaurants in Canberra. Every time we ever go there, we have a fantastic time. And, you know, one thing I really love about it is each suburb is self-contained. It's got everything you might need just a couple of minutes away.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love going down to Canberra as well. And in a past life, in my old job, you know, I used to visit there quite often for work. And it's changed so much in the last 10 years. It's quite incredible. Actually, my brother-in-law lives down there. We love going down to visit.
And Rod, you've got the rental vacancy numbers?
Well, look, there were some figures that came out through REI. I was talking to Katie from Rain and Horn Gosford and East Gosford. Now, this is one of the big, probably the biggest property management office on the entire Central Coast. Somewhere roughly around about 1,700 properties with them. REI put out some figures, but Sydney was up to a 5.5% basic vacancy rate. Katie's figures are down at 0.07%. Not only that, the other figure, the average day that a property is vacant, so one tenant moving out, the next moving in is less than 24 hours. So if you're looking to invest in property, the way things are going, if it continues on, it doesn't get any better than the Central Coast right now.
Speaking of vacancy rates, I recently purchased an investment property for a client here on the Central Coast at Killarney Vale. Now, it was only on realestate.com for an hour. I think it was a Thursday or a Friday afternoon. And in 1 hour, they had 14 phone calls, 8 applications went out, and that place was secured on the Saturday with a suitable tenant. Quite incredible. And I mean, the benefit with high demand is obviously you can attract a higher rent and also attract a better tenant because you have choice, right?
Now, this sounds great for landlords, but I tell you what, from a sociological point of view, this is a critical point. You know, what do families do? You've got 14 people apply for it, you got one in. So what do the other 13 families do? What happened, you know, if their property's being sold, what do they do? Go live in a tent? Caravan parks are full of people coming up and staying in Sydney right now. It is actually a crisis situation up here with rental availability.
Yeah, and it's something that you don't even consider, right? What those other 13 groups are, and that was only in 1 hour. So who knows what happened, you know, for the following 24 or 48 hours, or even if it had been online for a week.
And Rod, just going back to your auction numbers around the country, boys, just quickly, can you believe that there's not a single auction in Hobart? And in the top end, up in Darwin, you can count the number of auctions in Darwin on one hand.
Look, they're simply not that orientated market towards it. Doesn't mean to say it doesn't work up there, but as you say, you've got a total of 6 in the whole of Northern Territory.
Okay, boys, time to whip around the country and take a look at some suburbs. And I mean, I'm guilty. We're going back to Queensland. My best mate is selling his home in Thornlands, which is around about 45 minutes from the Brisbane CBD. Technically, it's 28 kilometres southeast of Brisbane. Population there in the 2016 census was 14,694 people. And it's just a beautiful area out by the bay. Some outstanding schools there. Yeah, my best mate's house, I would say it's a palatial spread. We like to call it the Roach Hilton. And they made a video for it, Rod. It looks spectacular. But when you look at the median sales price in Thornlands, I'd have to say that there's so much bang for your buck, it's incredible. So in 2020, the median house price is $588,500. The highest price sale is $1,380,000. What's the overwhelming trend here from the last couple of years?
So we've had a suburb decline, the growth of minus 4%. But as I say, I'm always wary about this. It's not necessarily apples for apples. You know the area more than I do, Steve. From what I gather, it's very family orientated. You did mention about the schools, facility services, shopping centres and other infrastructure.
Man, it's got everything right on your doorstep. And I thought my mate would live there forever, but they've actually moved back down the Gold Coast. Now their daughter's finishing high school in Brisbane. Matt, a few of the numbers that really caught my eye, like in 2019, the highest price was $7,150,000. 2018, there was a $10,800,000 sale. If you go back to 2016, $13,145,000. So we're thinking they're subdivisions?
Yeah, that sounds like that. Major development sites, I would say. They're indicators there. So yeah, some incredible numbers there. And by the sounds of it, it sounds like not a bad place to live.
This year, boys, there's been 261 sold properties and the current median rent, $495 a week.
Yeah, so that's sitting around 5% rental yield just off the top of my head. Yeah, quite affordable and for a nice little spot there. Close proximity to Brisbane, close proximity to the Gold Coast.
When you said about the lifestyle, Rod, so they're close to Victoria Point.
So some of the suburbs people might know is Cleveland Bay, Moreton Bay, obviously, out to the island, Mount Cotton and Alexandra Hills.
And boys, just a couple of insights from realestate.com.au. The average visits per property in Queensland is 616. For Thornlands, really surprising here, it's almost half the visits of the state average, 315 to be exact. 24.4% are established couples and families, older couples and families, 23.3%, maturing couples and families, 11.9%.
Slight change of pace there for sure. Living that close to the water, many water activities up there. Does he own jet ski, surf, what do they do, fish?
Well, you've got so many islands in close proximity. So I think you've got Stratty, you've got Moreton Island, you've got Russell Island. And you can buy properties on some of those islands too, but some of them are called the low tide block.
One of those ones you buy with the restrictions. Yeah, you've got the land, but you can't build on it now. Congratulations. A BYO tent.
All right, let's go to the Sunshine Coast. And I'm guilty of this too, my wife and I. We love Alexandra Headlam, we always have. Made famous, in my opinion, because of the great Grant Kenny, who won the junior-senior double in the Ironman. I tell you, we send our condolences to his family and also Lisa Curry with the passing of their beautiful daughter, Jamie. So a really sad week for everyone on the Sunshine Coast. But let's take a look at Alexandra Headlam.
What a fantastic place to visit, and I'm sure it is to live as well. Some of the most beautiful beaches and headlands the East Coast has to offer. We've got a median house price up there at $1.12 million. That's come down around 10%, 10 or 11% in the last 12 months. But geez, they've performed really well over the last sort of, you know, 10, 20 years with an average increase of 17.8%, which is quite incredible. Performed really, really well. And again, we just always speak about the close proximity to Brisbane, some fantastic lifestyle drivers there, nice affordability. Great place to be living.
The other thing that surprised me with it, we've also got the figures for Noosa Heads here. The property value median in Alexandra Headlands is above that of Noosa Heads. Now, that is something that surprised me. It's only a tiny amount, but certainly I'd say Alexandra Heads has shown some strong growth because it always has been traditionally Noosa as the top and most expensive properties up there.
I'll tell you, Matt, if you've got some unit numbers, I'd love to hear those because when we were up there, as you do, you have a look in the real estate window or you pick up a brochure. And we saw some two-bedroom units with a view of the ocean that you could get for, you know, around the $400,000 mark. So, you know, you're super tempted to want to go and spend the twilight years on the beautiful Sunshine Coast. Well, hold that, Matty. I've thrown you under the bus. We haven't got the unit numbers, but I can tell you, I think my wife Sharon had moved there in a heartbeat. It's just such a beautiful lifestyle. Rod?
Look, some of the statistics are we have a population just under 4,000 people and the median age is 45 years. So it's probably very similar to what we're looking at around the 2260 postcode. I'd imagine demographically it's going to be very similar here. In fact, the original land release there and the residential hotel was built in 1916 on 36 acres.
So, Matt, we found the unit numbers and one-bedroom unit in Alexandra Headland. You can jump in the market for $230, a two-bedroom for $440, and a three-bedroom unit for around $675,000. Now, we mentioned earlier about the number of visits on realestate.com. For Alexandra Headland, well ahead of the state average, 801 visits per property on that website.
And it does look as though it's quite difficult to buy a house here. There's only been 33 sales in the last 12 months. It's quite interesting.
Fairly small area, remember. It's only a population just over 4,000. So that's about a quarter of the size that we're looking at in Wombril, for instance.
Okay, and speaking of 4,000, Noosa, can you believe it's only 4,484 people in the 2016 census?
Yeah, I absolutely love Noosa. I was up there for my honeymoon, actually. Incredible place. In the ocean every single morning around 4:30. I think the sun comes up there, depending on what time of year. Incredible place.
So the numbers for Noosa, and Rod, you said you're surprised by these. So the median sales price in 2020 is $947,500, but the high price, $9,625,000.
Look, that's it. Now, bear in mind, this is homes. This is in units. Too often with Noosa, we associate it with apartments and holiday lettings. The other important thing to bear in mind with this is, too, is when we look at the population numbers, more so here than Alexandra Headlands, that's the resident population. Bear in mind, in Noosa Heads, 50% of the properties up there are holiday homes and investment properties for holiday rental returns. You do have double the volume of properties compared to the population up there because so many of them simply owned by investors.
Sold properties in the last 12 months, 72. Rental yield plus 3.1, and the median rent is $650 a week.
That was interesting with the property. That's more than double what we'd seen in Alexandra Heads for a very similar population. So that would mean, again, a lot more properties up there versus head of population. So the investment properties, Alexandra, more so, I would tend to think, then, is owner-occupier similar to the Central Coast.
And just quickly, boys, again, looking at the realestate.com.au numbers, you can jump into a one-bedroom unit in Noosa starting around $390,000. For two bedrooms, you need around $750,000. And in terms of visits in Noosa, 902 per property compared to the Queensland average of 616. Elderly couples, 16.1% in Noosa. Older couples and families, 14.1%. Elderly singles is a category as well, 13%. That's the top three of people living in Noosa. Median weekly rents, plus 2.6. So the current median price is $945,000 for a unit. Current median rent, $473,000.
Wow. I think I'd be choosing to rent up there as opposed to buying a unit for just shy of $1 million.
It looks like a pretty cost-effective one as long as you're not paying holiday letting, you're doing it on a permanent basis, Matt.
Now, on our last few episodes, we mentioned about some places that you could go. So for me, at Thornlands, I'd definitely duck down to Victoria Point Bowls Club, or Vicky Point, as they call it. Have a couple of schooners there and great company. The other place, if you're on the Sunshine Coast, now we said about Alexander Headland, definitely go to the Surf Club. Lots of memorabilia there about, you know, the legendary Grant Kenny, who went to the Olympics and won a bronze medal in kayaking, as well as being a star Ironman. But duck down to Mooloolaba. Billy Moore's got the Italian restaurant. Billy Moore, the famous Queensland rugby league player.
How good. What a champion. Is he waiting tables there? Is he in the kitchen? What's he doing?
Oh, Billy is there 24/7 when he's not, you know, doing TV and radio commitments. And, you know, the hospitality there is unbelievable.
He was one of my favourite players as a kid, Billy Moore. I was a big Bears fan. Until I found out that he played for Queensland, I just went completely off him. So,
The standard behaviour in that restaurant is going to be of top notch, I'd imagine, with Billy behind the bar and serving too.
I'm also a fan of Maroochydore Surf Club, so if you get a chance, check that out as well. The home of Clint Robinson, who won Olympic gold in kayaking as well.
What we're talking about, the Sunshine Coast, you grew up on the Gold Coast. It is two separate entities, isn't it? The parochial Queenslander would be more parochial towards the Gold Coast. You like the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, well, it was always more chilled. Wasn't as developed as the Gold Coast. What about Noosa, Matt? Have you got a favourite spot that you and Jackie used to go to?
Mate, my favourite restaurant, like I mentioned earlier, we were up there for our honeymoon a couple of years back, and Sales Restaurant at Noosa is fantastic. You sit out there, outside, right on the headland, right on the water, perfect views, really, really good seafood, one of the best spots. And I can't remember the name of the cafe, but very close to Sales on the back street, I think it's a little French patisserie, does the best coffee and the best cakes in Noosa.
And if you're talking about Noosa, and I'm rattling off, you know, some of the great lifesavers of all time, Darren Mercer and his daughter Geordie, who's won the Molokai on numerous occasions, they're now in Noosa Surf Club. All right, Matt, and just before we wind this up, you two are going to butt heads at an auction on the weekend.
Yeah, it's looking that way. Looks as though I'm going to be representing some clients for a property up here in Wamberal that Rod's going to be the auctioneer at. So we may not be on next week. We'll see.
It's not butting heads, Steve. It's butting bids, isn't it? Good luck to you and your clients.
Yeah, really, really excited and a little bit nervous because obviously Rod's great at what he does. And now really excited to help get these guys the place that they're after.
What's the home like? Tell us more.
Look, it's a really lovely single level. It's under $1 million, which is the important thing in Wamberal these days, you know, for popularity, but it's a very livable four-bedroom home, good parcel land, good location, walk down a beautiful Breakers Country Club, and the school bus stops right outside the door.
Well, actually, I saw the video for that. Rod, your videos are looking sensational with Ray Whiteterrigal. Boys, great to see you. That's a wrap for episode 4 of Our House. Make sure you give us a like on Facebook, and we'll catch you next week.